Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Stover. I'm from Richmond, the Central Office, Department of Health in Virginia. And my talk today is really centered around things that we've done from an HIV epi profile and perhaps lessons that we've learned through that. Once STD started talking about epi profiles, we really thought, oh no. Because there are lots of things about HIV AIDS profiles that we really needed to rethink. So this presentation is really big picture. So you're going to see just a lot of images of things from profiles and fact sheets, etc. Don't try and read it. That's not the intent. It's really for the big picture, because I think to kind of piggyback on what Mark was saying, I think a lot of these epi profiles need to focus on what we kind of regard as eye candy. And it needs to be things that people want to read, you know, not an annual report of tables that no one reads. Because if you do any kind of analysis in your area and you just put those kind of reports together, I'm sure everyone would raise their hand if I said, don't you get tired of people calling you asking for data that's already available? And they don't know it's there because they never ever look at it. And they're gonna look at it if it's put together in a way that's actually interesting. What we're going to talk about really is some of the historical context and issues without an eye related to our epi profiles. Always review before you post it. Some of our current activities and just a little bit of the added value of GIS. If you haven't gotten the message yet, GIS is important to us when we're thinking about epi profiles. I think that's going to be clear by the time we finish today. So this is my busy slide, so I apologize up front, but it's here really just to put things in perspective. Because epi profiles, if those of you who are in HIV programs or integrated programs, you'd know that we've been doing epi profiles for HIV since the late 90s, mid to late 90s. And that's really for the HIV prevention grant and the community planning groups. That's who it was put together for. So the first one we ever did actually was done by a contractor. Virginia Commonwealth University did it for us. They didn't do a bad job, but it was really late. And we kind of took home the message that it's probably not a good idea to hire someone outside of your area to put together an epi profile for you, when the intent really is for it to be something really useful for program planning, and you're hiring someone who doesn't know anything about your program planning to do that. So that was kind of a lesson learned for us. But it was okay, but it just, perhaps wasn't what we were hoping it would be. So then we created our first one. So this was in around 2002. So we brought it in-house and did it ourselves. We made it very, very governmental. That's kind of, you can see that, can't you? It looks like a military thing. We were good at that. And it had lots, just tons of tables and things in it that we shouldn't have done. But it was our first crack at it. We finally got funding. The HIV surveillance grant actually has capacity building funding, which is not to be confused with HIV prevention capacity building funding, two very different things. But we actually hired someone, and we've had him on staff. Well, we've had a position on staff since that time. This is since 94, whose job is basically to do epi profiles. So we created our own. It got a lot better this time. But the problem was, we're on our, this is our second profile coordinator at this point. And when he finished, he was really, really proud of it and said, I don't ever want to do that again. He was really happy. He showed it off, but don't ever ask me to do that again. In fact, he applied for another job and got promoted. But it was a good report. Our third one, our third comprehensive profile, goes through data through 1996, and it was a repeat of what occurred the last time. Now, this was our most recent comprehensive profile, and I'm biased, but I think it's very good. But once again, the person who is now in the position said, please don't ever ask me to do that again. And she got promoted and left the position. So there was a theme going on. So we kind of decided to take a step back and think, is this really the best way for us to be going about this work? And we've kind of come to the decision that we're trying to take a different angle now. So it'll be interesting. We'll see how things pan out. Mark showed you their annual report / epi profile, which is a document, and we're moving away from that. We're actually going to go down a road of these updates, which we'll talk about in a minute. And really, they're more like fact sheets in a sense. And now our position, we hired someone else, and they're doing it. And that person has since got promoted. So we've hired six EPI profile coordinators since 1999, roughly. And that doesn't bode well for EPI profile development. And that's not a Virginia-specific issue either. That's a national issue. If you're involved with HIV, you know these have been incredibly difficult positions to maintain without staff attrition. So anyway, here's the first profile, the cover of it anyway. It was about 109 pages long, and I got a couple of tables just to show you a couple of breakdowns on it, but I just wanted, again, big picture, right? So that's kind of what it looked like, right? It's all black and white, you know, some tables and various graphs, nothing to write home about, but it served the purpose from our HIV prevention grant. When we did our first one in-house, this was our military one, it does look a little better in that, you know, now this is the basic look inside. We had one map, that little map down there, that was our lone map in that profile. But we actually tried to put a little bit more flair in it, you know, so that it didn't look quite so governmental. So we moved on our data through 2003. This was the second profile coordinator. The one who threatened me to never have him do it again. And we actually put a lot more maps in. We're really getting involved in ArcGIS at this point, and more hot and heavy. And the profile starts taking on this kind of look. Right? So we've got call-out boxes in there. We've got key points that we're making in different sections, etc., so that it actually had a little bit of interesting looks to it that people would actually want to read. And we were relatively successful in getting people to look at this with more desire than some of the previous ones. Now, this is our current comprehensive document, which has data through 2006. It took about a year to put this together, as well as the one before that. So as we've gotten more developed in these, you know, it's taken that EPI profile coordinator a full-time job, basically, you know, 10 months to a year to put this whole thing together. And I have a copy of it if anyone's interested in having a look. But this is what that document looks like. Okay, again, just little snapshots. But you can see this is so very different than the first one I showed you. And it's been growing in stages. But all along, we keep getting these issues and problems of staff saying, I love what I did, but. Right? So we thought, okay, we're going to try and change that. So this is just a quick breakdown of those comparisons so you can see the one that says number of, that was just how big the documents were. You know, they're all roughly 100 pages long. And this is just HIV AIDS. Now, the one from 96 was very much just descriptive stuff. The one in 2006 went into a lot more information about care services, et cetera, and a lot of different data. But suffice it to say, that they're just big documents. And the one that just showed proportions is really just trying to put it in context of what type of information's in there. So the problem is, you know, the profile takes way too long to put together. It just does. There's no way around that, what we didn't think, but it's really big. You know, they're really tedious, you know. You know, just putting something like that together, I mean, publisher is what you used to do this, and, you know, it's just a lot of work. Not to mention they're outdated before we ever publish them. You know, when we put this one together, the lady who did it, you know, we purposely worked hard to have this out, and this was made available. It was published on the web on World AIDS Day, right? December 1st is World AIDS Day. We thought, you know, that was just a good way to do it. Data through 2006, published on December 1st, 2007. In February of 2008, just a few months later, we're on the phone with folks at CDC saying, you guys haven't done a profile with data since 2006. And it's true, but, you know, it takes so long, and here's just a couple of months into a new year, and all of a sudden people are asking about a new profile. And then, of course, staff attrition just was a problem for us, and it's a problem for a lot of folks. So what do we do about the first three? Well, we're saying just simplify the document, you know. We don't need it to be difficult. We just need it to be useful. Let's make it shorter. It doesn't need to be in a really extensive document. 100-page limit is not some magic number. We seem to think that in Virginia for some reason, but it's not. And probably most importantly, we need to design it with the end in mind, you know. And what I mean by that is we need to make sure what we're putting together is something that we can use the next time. This document is great, but we've got to start over, right, to do another one. A year's worth of work, and now we have to start over, all over again. Now, staff attrition problem is a little more difficult to deal with. You know, we could try and reclassify positions, etc., but if we wanted to make them high-level positions in Virginia, I'd probably have to put supervisory oversight in there, which then takes time away from what they need to be doing, etc. So we're going to try the first three first. And the way we're going to do that is trying to create something that we'd say is just fast, efficient, and useful, and that's what we're going to call our EpiProfile data sheets. Okay? I stole the idea from OSHA and, you know, material safety data sheets. You know, really, that's what I did. And the whole intent of let's have, we'll call them, you know, there's these data sheets, fact sheets, if you will, that really takes information that we want to get, that someone can just download that or print it off, and it's that specific one, two, or three, or four pages long that deals with a specific topic. Collectively on our website, it will make up the EPI profile. And it doesn't all have to be updated at the same time. So we can have things out there that were updated in 2009, and maybe a whole other series of them that get updated in 2010. And if you're familiar with EPI profiles, you know we're supposed to do it every 3 years, right? So for HIV. So we'll just constantly be updating various parts of it, and any given year, things are never more than 3 years old. So that's the plan. So we've already done a few, so these are ones that are available on our site now, and this is what they look like. You know, there's one that's just the scope of HIV, kind of big picture stuff. There's one on HIV in women. There's one on black communities. There's one on Hispanic and Latinos. Okay, this one's only 2 pages long. No particular reason. You know, some are going to be longer than others. But the big picture is we can update these more easily without having to go into an entire document. We've also got some things already in the works with STD data. So there's a scope of STDs in Virginia. That one's 2 pages long right now. The STD ones are going to change. This one actually has like the back of it that looks at kind of programmatic action, different types of program activities that we have and little descriptions of what they are. And then we've got some others that are specific to STDs. These are more fact sheets, but they're all going to be changed to have the same kind of look you saw from the HIV ones. Right? So we've got syphilis and gonorrhea, etc. So the big picture for us is that we don't want to reinvent the wheel. That's really what it amounts to. And we're thinking that we can put some of these EPI profile data sheets together. Some are going to be static. Some are, we'll call it quasi-static. I couldn't come up with a good word. And there'll be others. So some things that we may want to have out there just readily available for people in the same format, like our state laws and our conditions that are reportable, etc., types of providers that are reporting to us that might be of interest to folks from a data standpoint, we can put those out there in the same kind of format, and they're not going to change very often. Hopefully your state laws aren't going to change that often. Others, you know, we may change every once in a while, like some of the socio-demographic data. You know, this is actually information that's in this profile, but the kind of things that we'd want to have in a data sheet that looks at this kind of information. So we can have overall statewide information. This is not specific to STDs, but it's relevant. Whether we're looking at just race and ethnicity breakdowns, educational status, insurance, you know, where people are moving throughout the state, you know, geographic boundaries, those types of things that are certainly of relevance regardless of what disease we're talking about. You know, where our MSAs are or aren't, where the rural areas are, etc., where your breakdowns are by your particular jurisdiction. You know, important information, things that will change probably a little more than things like state laws. So I'm thinking about having them in three different levels. We've got the static stuff, we've got kind of this quasi-static that's going to change every once in a while, and then we'll have the things that are going to need to be updated on some kind of regular basis. So that's going to be the EPI data and our maps. I'm not even thinking we're going to put maps necessarily in the same profile data sheet. You didn't really see maps in the ones you saw here, like the HIV ones. But you know, it might be easier for us in the big picture to put maps together on a data sheet that is for maps. These are the chlamydia maps. And we can make reference to those in the data sheet that's dealing with chlamydia, you know, think they can refer back to one another. And then some others that I'm thinking can be important to us, you know, things like reference materials. You know, I get frustrated when I see, you know, wonderful peer-reviewed journals come through and no one ever reads, right? At least in our program. So, you know, to have something on an annual basis, perhaps, that if there's something really relevant that Mark Stinger published that's related to STDs, then, you know, we can put that in one of our data sheets that just deals with all these types of relevant reference materials. And people have a place they can always go to look for that kind of information. And whether or not we did one that dealt with data quality, you know, I put a question mark in there. Yeah, I'd like to be honest. I'd like to think people who are looking at the morbidity or screening types of data sheets would like to know how good the data is they're looking at. Most probably won't, but it would be nice to have something as well that, you know, would be more for programmatic folks. You know, they'll get more out of it, but other people in the general public might very well have some interest in it too. So thinking about maps, this is really a means for me to highlight the need for you to go to the GIS symposium on Thursday. Yeah. There'll be more data. This is just the tip of the iceberg for it. But this is the kind of thing that we can put in these maps, especially for integrated programs. And I think if you're an integrated program, you ought to try and integrate your HIV and STD profiles. I think doing them separately doesn't make a lot of sense. It's not very efficient. And this is just an example of looking at HIV and gonorrhea. HIV is over here on closest to me. And looking at rates and counts of disease, and it's quite obvious that they look relatively similar. This is the Hampton Roads, Virginia Beach, Norfolk area. So we also had something that was published about 15 months ago that looked at poverty strata and incident rate ratios, and gonorrhea, not surprisingly, has the highest incident rate ratios for the largest poverty strata, which is like 20% or more. So we're saying, you know, here's a good programmatic action type of activity that we can use EpiProfiles to do, and that is look at the same area, look at your poverty. Red means, you know, high poverty, and the areas that you see here that are actually hatched are places that have high rates of both HIV and gonorrhea, and they're in high poverty areas. So if we're going to go out and do enhanced gonorrhea screening, like, you know, Kevin O'Connor is saying we need to be doing, then we ought to go out there with a rapid HIV test as well at the same time and hit them with both things. And, you know, our staff can use these kind of maps to make sure when they go out to these particular census tracts that they're taking that kind of thing into consideration when they do it. Okay, so that does it for me. I've got a few people to acknowledge there as well. Some of them are in the room, so thank you very much, guys. And anyone have any questions? Yeah. Yeah, you mean like the new way we're thinking about it? No, the plan would be to have it on there. If you went to our site now and you looked at this, okay, you could download this in individual sections, right? Or you could download the entire document. So we would look to do the same thing with these EpiProfile data sheets. You know, the whole thing is the EpiProfile. So if you want the whole thing, you're going to print it off. They're not all going to be updated in the same year. But you could print the entire thing with one click, or you could just go in there and it would almost be like a table of contents broken out by individual data sheets, and you could just pick and choose at will.
Have you thought about dynamic content, you know, with
that? Yeah. Well, what we're doing right now, you know, we could use like interactive PDFs to do that. So right now, some of this kind of data... staff are putting together an interactive PDF files now for like the local DIS, etc. And, you know, similar kind of thing could be put together. You know, the problem is you might get a lot of people who are downloading it who don't know what to do with it, or they don't have Adobe, or, you know, they don't have what they need in order to make it work well. But we certainly could. I mean, I think PDF gives you the ability and the flexibility to do that more than what we used to. You're thinking.
Oh, no, I'm just suffering.
Great. Okay. Thank you.